This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Preborn. For $140, you can provide ultrasounds to five women in crisis pregnancies. Call now, 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229 or visit preborn.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. On Saturday, tens of thousands of Christians are expected to converge on the National Mall for a gathering called Together 2016. Now, this interdenominational event is billed as a time to come together around Jesus in unified prayer, worship, and a call for catalytic change. The Washington Post calls it a modern-day evangelical revival, complete with TED Talks, hip-hop, and no politics. But while many well-known evangelical leaders are on tap to speak, there's also been some controversy over another person who will be addressing the crowd via video greeting, I should say, and that is Pope Francis. Nick Hall, who is the organizer of Together, had this to say about the Pope's participation, quote, that His Holiness would choose to speak into this historic day is a testament to the urgency and the need for followers of Jesus to unite in prayer for our nation and our world. Now, remember, this is the same Pope who, among other things, has prayed at a mosque in Istanbul, has allowed Islamic prayers and Quran readings at the Vatican, and also has said this, proselytism is solemn nonsense. It makes no sense. And both evangelicals and conservative Catholics have actually objected to the Pope's participation at an evangelical gathering. But the papal appearance at Together is just one small example of how more and more in the name of Jesus, evangelicals have been willing to minimize truth in order to foster ecumenical unity with all kinds of different churches and groups and sometimes even cults. In fact, the Post did a story this week on Together, and I found this observation to be absolutely amazing. Here's what the reporter wrote. The high-profile, celebrity-studded nature of the event is prompting conversations about what, if anything, today's evangelicals agree should be revived. Incredible. And this is just a jumping off point for the bigger issue that we're going to tackle today, and that is the tragic decline in biblical discernment. My next guest and friend, Mike Gendron, recently preached a great message on this subject. Mike is founder of the evangelistic ministry Proclaiming the Gospel and a former Roman Catholic who has given his life to pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the all-sufficient Savior. And I'm just delighted to welcome him back. Mike, thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, Janet, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I just love your stand for the truth, which is why I always welcome the opportunity.
Well, I love your stand for the truth as well. And as I said, this is really, this discussion of Together 2016 is kind of a jumping off point for me and you to talk about something even bigger, and that is biblical discernment. One of the things, though, I want to go back to the Washington Post story and quote this for you and get your reaction to this. This is actually from the story in the Washington Post, quoting a news release for the Together gathering. And listen to this. It says, we will lay down what divides us, politics, race, social issues, theological differences, to come together and lift up Jesus who unites us. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Where in the Word of God are we ever told that we can lift up Jesus by putting aside theological differences?
Well, that's an impossibility, because if you lay aside what divides us, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Roman Catholic gospel is antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so the gospel is set to divide believers against unbelievers. So there's no way that we can lay aside theological differences and ask Jesus to unite us. The only way Jesus will unite people is in the truth of his word. And so when you look at Nick Hall, when he makes this statement about Together 2016 is about laying aside what divides us in order that Jesus will unite us, he's clearly not aware of the exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm really glad that we're talking about discernment today, because, Janet, as you know, this goes hand in hand. If you suppress doctrinal truth for the sake of unity, then you no longer have a gospel that has the power to bring dead sinners to life in Jesus Christ. And so more than ever, we need to stand for the gospel of Christ and stand against these movements that seek to unite people in error rather than divide them in truth.
Yeah, very well said. Well, and as I cited in my opening there, there are conservative Catholic websites that are objecting from the other end. There was one in particular that I read that critically referred to the gathering as virtually doctrineless. This is Catholics saying this. And then they said the true Catholic Church of our Lord Jesus Christ can only promote the return of the erring sheep to her fold. So this is what the conservatives on that side are saying. They don't like it either for different reasons, but at least they're being honest to Catholic theology, and we're being honest on what has divided us for the last 500 years. We did have a Reformation for a reason. It was over this central issue of how is a person made right with a holy God.
Very well said. As we come up on the 500th anniversary, we see this Pope who has a Jesuit background moving forward at a very rapid pace to reverse the Reformation. And what he's doing is he's attending these pseudo-evangelical rallies calling for ecumenical unity so that he can bring separated brethren, and that would be you and I, back home to Rome. That's his goal. That's the agenda of the Jesuits. In fact, that's been their agenda since the Reformation. And in the past, they always put to death those who stood in the way of the Counter-Reformation. Now they're trying to seduce people by saying that Catholics are brothers in Christ and that Roman Catholicism is a valid expression of Christianity. You may have seen a recent poll that said 70% of Protestant pastors believe Pope Francis is their brother in Christ. And so this is how far we've come in 500 years, no longer standing for the vital truths that the Reformers gave their lives defending.
Well, you're right about that, Mike. And I know a lot of this is fueled by the fact that in the last 20 years, especially as we've seen the culture decline and the rise of homosexuality and sexual promiscuity and social problems like abortion and the murder of the unborn on such a wide scale, evangelicals and Catholics have agreed on a lot of these important moral and social issues. And so there has been unity on fighting for, you know, these certain issues that do matter to both camps. But unfortunately, what has happened is in the process, we have seen a lot of evangelicals then jump to the really illogical conclusion that therefore we shouldn't talk about what divides us theologically. Well, the problem with that, Mike, is when you don't talk about theology, why even have a Bible? I mean, we are to stand for biblical truth and to discern truth from error. But that's exactly what you're talking about, that we have lost in large measure this ability to be biblically discerning, whether it's over Catholicism or any other number of theological groups.
Well, very well said. We're never to compromise the truth for the sake of social or moral issues. We are to be co-belligerents in these issues that are very important, but never at the expense of suppressing the truth of God's Word or compromising the gospel, which is ultimately the agenda of all of these unity and movements. They want to tear down the fences that divide us so that we can all come together and make the world a better place. But I think oftentimes evangelicals forget that we serve a sovereign Lord who is omnipotent, and he doesn't need his people uniting with unbelievers in order to accomplish his goals. And so we need to remain sanctified by the truth, cry out to the Lord ourselves for social and moral reform in our nation, and do whatever we can by ourselves, but never uniting under the guise that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ with Catholics and Orthodox.
Well, and you can see how things are moving. There was a quote from the progressive writer Matthew Paul Turner in this same Washington Post article commending the fact that women preachers are going to be up there on the stage along with men. And then he says this: churches are slow to change, but they're changing. 10 years from now, there will be an openly gay speaker on a stage like this one. I think he's right if we keep going at this rate.
Well, sure. In fact, I think we're seeing an exponential acceleration in things that are taking place. It's no longer on a linear scope. We're seeing things happen at a very rapid pace, so I believe it could even happen before the 10 years is up.
I agree. Things that probably would have taken 100 years to unfold at one time, then took 10 years to unfold. Now it seems like in a few weeks, you'll probably see things coming along. But this gets to the broader issue that I want to dive into in greater detail when we come back from the break here with Mike Gendron, the issue of the tragic loss of biblical discernment among evangelicals. This is a very big topic, but Mike has wonderful insight onto why it's so important for us to stand on the Word of God and to defend the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But first, we have to know what that is. We're going to come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Don't go away. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you'll access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 per month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. That number again, 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. We are tackling what might be a very controversial issue in its own right, but that's too bad because we have to talk about this as Christians, and that is the tragic loss of biblical discernment among evangelicals. We all want revival. We all want reformation. We want the Lord to come in a fresh way and to revive us and to draw us closer to Him, that we may be bold in going out and witnessing, proclaiming the gospel, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that can never come at the expense of truth. In fact, it has to be rooted and grounded in truth. Mike Gendron is with me from Proclaiming the Gospel, and we've been talking a little bit about this Together 2016 gathering taking place on the National Mall tomorrow. And why, you know, it just seems, Mike, as you read more and more about it, it's all about chucking doctrine. And this seems to be a trend. I mean, worse and worse all the time. Forget doctrine. Forget. It's one thing to say, you know, we don't want to divide over race. We shouldn't divide over race. We shouldn't divide over politics, or whatever, depends on what the politics are. But on theological differences, we can't. If it's an extraneous issue, that's one thing, Mike. If it has to do with how you think elders ought to be appointed, that's one thing. But we can't theologically decide that we're not going to worry about whether or not a doctrine is true or not, to divide, I mean, to unite around the name of Jesus. This, why do you think we are seeing more of this move to make doctrine a side issue?
Well, I believe it all comes down to Satan is the prince of this world, and he's the father of lies, and he's doing everything he can to rebuild his religious Tower of Babel. I believe he knows his days are numbered, and so what he's trying to do is to make truth subjective rather than objective and unite people in his error rather than keeping people divided in the truth of God's word. And I just hope everybody realizes that divine unity and truth is much more important than satanic unity and error. Mm. We must stand for the gospel. That is the only message that we have to a lost and dying world. This world is spinning out of control. It is hopeless and helpless to do anything about it unless we preach the gospel. And so it must remain pure, and we must stand on its truth.
That's right. Now, you had done a great sermon recently. People can find it, I know, in your latest newsletter at proclaimingthegospel.org on the issue of the tragic loss of biblical discernment. And one of the things that I think people need to know right out of the gate is, what exactly do we mean when we use the phrase biblical discernment?
Well, discernment is such that it causes us to examine everything. The truth is very objective, and so anything that comes against the truth would be considered error. And so we have to have discernment, and the reason being is because Satan is a very subtle deceiver. He'll never come out with full-blown lies, but he mixes truth with error. And so in order to have discernment, we must know the truth. And that's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible is when Jesus said, "A true disciple of mine will abide in my word, then he will know the truth, and the truth will set him free from any satanic error or satanic deception." And ultimately, we see religious bondage is what people are set free from. They cannot be set free unless they know the truth, and in order to know the truth, they must be able to discern what is false and what comes against the truth of God's word.
That's right. Now, how does a Christian become prolific in exercising biblical discernment? These seem like pretty basic questions, but for somebody who might be a new Christian listening or non-Christian, what is it about biblical discernment that we are able to exercise it? This is certainly something that God gives us the ability to do, but how do we use biblical discernment, and in what context should we use it?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to understand that Christianity is not tolerant of any other faith. The gospel is an exclusive gospel. Yeah. It dares to say that all other faiths are false. And herein lies the problem we're seeing in D.C. is that all, quote-unquote, professing Christians are coming together, suppressing doctrinal truth for the sake of unity. Christianity is not tolerant in that the Word of God is objective truth. It's not subjective. We find it clearly presented in the Word of God, and we know that anything that contradicts Scripture is false. We know that no lie is of the truth. And so I think we need to recognize that even though tolerance is a good virtue outside of theology, when it comes to theology, we must stand on the truth of God's Word. And Janet, ultimately, those who promote unity with false teachers without challenging their errors will leave their own convictions and beliefs open to question. And that's why we have contacted these evangelicals that are going to be in D.C., and we've called them to account. They need to be challenged that if they go, they must go proclaiming the purity and the exclusivity of the gospel. Otherwise, they're falling right into the ecumenical unity trap, which is what the conference is all about.
Incredible. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the causes for the decline in biblical discernment, which I think are so valuable for Christians to hear in this day, Mike. One of the ones you've mentioned is that biblical preaching is dying in our churches today. That's one of your claims in the sermon that you gave. Explain what you mean by biblical preaching and how you have noticed this trend.
Well, if you look around now, our churches are really, I think, in the majority as far as the seeker-friendly type churches, and you have pastors that are trying to attract people by making them happy instead of exhorting them to be holy. Their sermons are now shifting from "Thus says the Lord" to "This is what I think you want to hear in order to come back next week." And so I think a lot of times now biblical preaching is dying, and it's giving way to entertainment. And felt needs are now being addressed more than the spiritual need to be forgiven and have a right standing before God. And ultimately, the Apostle Paul talked about it, that in the end times, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and turn their ears away from the truth. And I think that's the pattern of the church today. They have pastors now that have pretty much looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, we tried your blueprint for building the church, but we just weren't attracting the numbers, and so we've got our own plan for building the church. Well, ultimately, Janet, they're no longer building the Lord's church. They're building their own church because we need to follow the Lord's blueprint, and that takes faithful biblical preaching where they exegete the passage verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. Pastors that do that today are on the endangered species list.
They certainly are. Well, I recall a few years back, there was one prominent megachurch pastor who said pastors actually should not say, thus saith the Lord. I remember that was quite the controversy when this pastor said that. But there were a lot of people who agreed. We shouldn't say, thus saith the Lord. I mean, we're not the Lord, and it's just from a book, and one book of 66, and all these sort of excuses that were given. But isn't that, sadly, the mentality, who am I to say, thus saith the Lord?
Well, our words are void of power, and preachers that don't preach the word of God are ultimately asking their people to believe the words of men rather than the word of God. And so, unfortunately, churches that are faithful to the word of God are just so difficult to find. We get so many calls from people around the nation today, and this is what they're asking. Where can I find a solid biblical church?
Right. Yeah, yes, I get the same questions, and that is a really sad thing because it shows that there are God's people out there. Obviously, there are good churches out there, but in many parts of the country, people will say, in my area, I can't find one that's really biblically based and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does that say more broadly, Mike, about the state of our church at the moment, of evangelicalism?
Well, Satan has done a wonderful job of planting his tares in our churches with very little resistance. You know, when people in the church are not contending for the faith, then tares are planted very easily. And I think Satan knows that he can attack the church more from the inside, more effectively than from the outside. And so the Lord warned us that he would come in and plant the tares among the wheats. But we also see that moral absolutes have been abandoned under the banner of tolerance and relativism.
Right.
Churches that fail to faithfully preach the truth have members who cannot discern truth from error. And so this is why you have these ecumenical unity movements going on with more and more frequency. It's to unite the world under the religious Tower of Babel once again.
Oh, boy. Well, and when you talk about revival, Mike, as I mentioned before, who doesn't want revival? We all talk about revival. We all want to see the Lord refresh us again. But can revival be removed from doctrine?
Well, not at all. In fact, you can't have a biblical revival without biblical truth. You know, we probably have a rise in church attendance today, and many pastors are calling it a revival. But in a sense, it's because they're following the methods and madness of man rather than following the word of God. You know, the Bible says we must come to God his way. And so many pastors now are encouraging people to come to God their way without repentance and faith, but simply walking an aisle, raising a hand, or repeating a prayer. And so that's why we have so many tares in our churches today. People are coming to God man's way rather than God's way.
Well, you hear a lot of talk, don't you, about loving Jesus. That seems to be the buzz term of the moment. We just need to love Jesus. If we love Jesus, but we love Jesus in the context of Jesus, the social justice creator, or Jesus, the moral teacher, we're not getting the full picture on Jesus, are we? And what sort of picture of Jesus does the Bible paint over and against some of those ideas?
Yeah, that's all you hear is the love of Christ and his mercy and grace. Rarely do you hear the holiness of God or his righteous justice. And so when we talk about Jesus, we have to talk about all of his attributes, not just his love. And the only way that we can reach people with the gospel is to love them by confronting them in their error. And anyone who is believing a false gospel, we must lovingly show them the true gospel. And the only way to be saved is to repent and believe the true gospel.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break. Mike Gendron with me from Proclaiming the Gospel. We're talking about the tragic decline in biblical discernment. More to come on Janet Mefford Today. This Janet Meffer Today podcast is brought to you by Preborn. For $140, you can provide ultrasounds to five women in crisis pregnancies. Call now, 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229 or visit preborn.com. Back on Janet Meffer Today, talking about the tragic decline in biblical discernment, an uncomfortable issue for some, but this must be discussed. We stand on the exclusive gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. This is where we have stood as evangelical Christians since 500 years ago at the time of the Protestant Reformation. But we have seen a lot of changes over the years, and especially in the American church, we have seen a lot of compromise and a loss of biblical discernment when it comes to delineating truth from error, and yet Scripture commands us to discern truth from error. My guest is Mike Gendron, founder of Proclaiming the Gospel, and he has preached a wonderful message on this, which you can find at proclaimingthegospel.org. One of the other causes that you've mentioned, Mike, for the decline in biblical discernment is the fact that truth is being replaced with tolerance, as we've been talking about just a little bit. Why in the world would tolerance be more attractive to a Christian than truth? What is your thought on that?
Well, we have to recognize that truth is what divides people, and it's oftentimes a confrontation when you speak the truth. People really don't want to be convicted of what their sin is or that they are sinners in need of a Savior. You know, Jesus said there is only one way. That's the truth of the Bible.
Right.
And that's very offensive. In fact, that's why the gospel is offensive to those who are offensive to God. We need to recognize that even though Jesus was the most loving, the most merciful, and the most gracious person who ever lived, it was the truth that he spoke that caused the Jews to plot to have him killed.
Yes.
Jesus was confronting the religious leaders and the error in their false way to God. They weren't even understanding that Jesus was who the scriptures were speaking of. And so when Jesus spoke the truth about who he is and who they were, they wanted to kill him. And so that's the nature of truth. It's confrontational. It exposes people's deception, and people never want to admit they've been deceived. I don't know about you, but I was so aware of this that I had a tract printed, "Have you ever been deceived?" You know, people know when they're insulted, they know when they're embarrassed, but they may never know that they are deceived until someone confronts them with the truth. And that's the power of the truth of God's Word. It will challenge people in their deception, and then they have a choice. I can remain deceived, or I can submit to the authority of God's Word and believe the truth. It's You know, Janet, I think that's the reason people don't evangelize more often, is because evangelism calls people to recognize their sinners in need of a Savior, and that is not oftentimes a very friendly conversation, and it often divides people and breaks up relationships. But that's what we're all called to do as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, you think of 1 Corinthians 11:19, Mike, where it says there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. In other words, the Bible doesn't say put aside all your differences, make sure you don't have any theology dividing you, be unified no matter what. It says there will be a difference between you and some other people who are not in the faith.
Well, that's so true. And so often I think people take division as being something negative. In fact, not too long ago, Pope Francis came out and he attributed all division to error. Of course, he doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't know that Jesus came to divide fathers against sons, mothers against daughters. He came to make division among people, and he did that with his gospel. He came with a sword to divide. And so, in a sense, Pope Francis was attributing the work of Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to divide. And so, like you said, Janet, division is a good thing. It shows which people are approved by God.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other things that you mentioned, Mike, your third point about the causes of the lack of biblical discernment is that biblical warnings are being ignored. And I think that's also a very important thing to bring up. Which biblical warnings would you say are being ignored today?
Well, we see both the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul warned of wolves who would try to destroy the flock. We see that in Matthew 7:15 and Acts chapter 20. You know, at the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry, he warned the church, he warned the elders that from their own numbers, men would arise distorting the truth in order to lead away disciples after them. So those warnings are being ignored, along with all the fiery darts that have been addressed in the Bible as coming against the church, such as empty philosophy, vain deceit, lying spirits, doctrines of demons, heresies, myths, falsehoods, and the traditions of men. So these warnings go unnoticed, and unfortunately, the elders and church leaders and pastors, maybe they do a good job sometimes of feeding the sheep, but they're also called to protect the sheep, and we don't see very many church leaders or elders doing that today.
Oh, that's so true. And you have even pointed out, I know, Mike, that in Matthew 24, where the Lord is talking about the signs to come and the signs of his coming, the signs of the end of the age, he mentions several times not to be deceived. Don't be deceived by false prophets, and they will try to deceive many, and some will say, I'm the Messiah, and don't go out and follow him. The Lord himself talked about the possibility of us being deceived and how we're supposed to warn against that. How can we guard against being deceived if we're unwilling to discern?
Well, we have to know the truth. And in order to know the truth, we have to abide in God's word, memorize the scripture, meditate on the word of God. And the more we know the scriptures, the greater discernment we will have. And we can always call out to the Lord for more discernment. But, Janet, I think you'll agree that worse than a person who has no discernment is a person who has discernment but doesn't have the courage or the boldness to utilize it. So we have a lot of apathetic Christians today that are not contending for the faith, even though they know the truth and they need to stand against the truth. But you mentioned the Lord's warning in Matthew 24. And that's the sign of the end times. And so as we see the increase of deception and the increase of apostasy, at the same time we're seeing a decline of discernment. And so it's really unfortunate. More than ever, we need to have discernment, because what's at stake is the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ and the purity of his gospel, and then ultimately the sanctity of his church.
Oh, you're so right, Mike. And here's the thing that really everybody needs to talk about in the church today, and that's the it's really going back to something that you said earlier on in this interview. The fact that when the devil is presenting error, he doesn't normally present it, hey, here's something outlandish and insane that nobody would accept at face value. It's mixed together with some truth. That is where discernment is really vital, to be able to separate truth from error and say, your premise is wrong, or you got this right, but you got this terribly wrong. That is a matter of practice, though, as Hebrews talks about, that we have to, you know, as we mature in the faith, and solid food is for the mature, and we have to practice having our senses trained to discern good and evil.
You're so right, Janet. Fatal errors are often hidden beneath the veneer of truth. And I take the Roman Catholic Church as an example. It believes in some of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. That's the thin veneer of truth that covers a false and fatal gospel. And so that's why so many evangelicals believe it to be Christian when they don't even investigate the gospel, which is not the gospel of Christ, but a gospel of works righteousness, which is no different from any other religion in the world.
Well, and the difference is, there are a lot of people will say, oh, you're being very hard on Catholicism. Of course, you were a Catholic for 34 years. But what are the stark differences, Mike? What do people need to know about the differences in the gospel that is proclaimed in the two camps?
Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. The Roman Catholic plan of salvation starts with baptism as the sacrament of regeneration and justification. Later, when a Catholic grows up and starts sinning, they have another sacrament called penance where they confess to a priest and they must do things in order to have their sins absolved.
I'll tell you what, Mike, hold on. We're going to go to another break. We'll be back. Mike Gendron talking with us about the tragic decline in biblical discernment. More to come on Janet Meffer Today. This is Janet Mefford for Preborn. Nearly one in four pregnancies in America will end in abortion. The Ministry of Preborn provides free ultrasounds for abortion-minded women nationwide. When a mother sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears the baby's heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life. Here's a story of a mom who went to one of Preborn centers and met the baby she had planned to abort.
They took me to the back and they introduced me to my child for the first time through an ultrasound. I was able to see this life growing inside of me, hear the heartbeat, and nothing else mattered at that point. I was a mother to be.
Ultrasound is a game changer. Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of five ultrasounds. All donations are tax deductible. You can help save a baby's life by donating to Preborn. Just call 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229. Or click the Preborn banner at janetmefford.com.
Many people in developing nations have no access to desperately needed medical care. That's why Mercy Ships brings volunteers aboard our hospital ship, the Africa Mercy, to give the world's forgotten poor the free medical care they need. We have an immediate need for registered nurses, especially with a pediatric specialty. As a volunteer nurse, you won't just give life-altering health care. You'll receive so much in return.
It's an amazingly rewarding experience.
You'll give hope and make a difference in the lives of those who have virtually no access to medical aid.
It's such a fantastic thing to do. Everybody who I've met on this ship either wants to come back and do it again, or they're already here for the second, third, or tenth time.
So what are you waiting for? Show mercy to someone today.
I would say go for it.
Get more information and learn how to apply by visiting mercyships.org/nurses. That's mercyships.org/nurses.
Well, we live in an age of tolerance, and it's affected the church as well. And so whenever we decide, no, we're going to put the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the true gospel as proclaimed by his word front and center, and we're going to do some discernment, we're going to separate some truth from error, it may seem a little jarring. We're not living in an age where separating truth from error is very popular, even in the church, and yet the Bible commands us to stand on truth and to exercise biblical discernment so we will not be deceived. And that's what we've been talking about this hour with Mike Gendron, who is founder of Proclaiming the Gospel. Mike, we were talking about the real gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, based on scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. These are the five solas upheld during the Protestant Reformation almost 500 years ago now, and we are the heirs to that Reformation. But when people say, well, we can join hands with Catholics and we can join hands with other groups, we don't agree on everything, but we agree on the Nicene Creed, you know, we can join hands for co-belligerence on social issues and that sort of thing, do we talk enough, do you think, about the differences on our views of justification and how a person is made right with God under each system?
No, I don't think we do, and we need to revisit that, especially as we celebrate the 500th anniversary. In Roman Catholicism, justification is temporal. It can be lost by mortal sin, but the Bible teaches that justification is eternal. By one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 10:14, the Bible says justification is by faith. Roman Catholicism teaches its justification is by faith plus works, and it dares to condemn anyone who does not believe that works are necessary. And so there's a huge gap that separates Roman Catholicism from biblical Christianity. In a sense, the gospel is based on what Christ has done to save sinners completely and forever. Roman Catholicism is based on what Catholics must do in order to gain entrance into heaven. They believe the death of Christ merely opened the gates of heaven. Now they must do their part. And Janet, you know this is a serious difference because in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, the Judaizers only wanted to add one requirement to the gospel.
Right.
And Paul didn't call for unity with them since they believed in Jesus. No, he said, let them be anathema. Let them be condemned, turned over to God for destruction because they added one requirement to the gospel of grace. And so if you look at the Roman Catholic plan of salvation, it has added seven requirements for salvation. If the Judaizers were condemned by the Word of God, the Roman Catholic Church is under a more severe condemnation, which is why our ministry attempts to equip and encourage the body of Christ to reach out to those Roman Catholics who are in a religion that is under the condemnation of God.
Well, yes, and you speak as a former Roman Catholic yourself, as I mentioned before. And yet, we also have to use discernment in our own camp. I mean, that's the thing of it, Mike. It's not as if we could say to anybody in Catholicism or another religious group, hey, come on over to our church and you'll get biblical preaching and you'll get the Word of God preached, exegetically, and you'll get, clear instruction in the gospel. I mean, we have our own problems, and that's exactly why we're talking about this.
It is true, and more than ever, I think Christians who are AWOL need to report back to the Commander-in-Chief because there's a fierce battle for the souls of men, and it's ultimately a battle between God's Word and Satan's lies. And if we don't know the Word of God, then we don't know truth, and we'll easily be deceived about the compromise of the gospel and the ecumenical movement. And so we need to take a stand. We need to really fight the good fight of faith, as we're all exhorted to do. There's no time for any Christian to be apathetic, no time for any Christian to be on the fence. We really need to be bold and courageous. Otherwise, the lies of the devil will continue to have their way across America and into our churches.
Well, you mentioned something before that worse than no discernment is a Christian who has discernment but no courage to exercise it. Would you say the problem is more that we don't have biblical discernment in large measure, or is the problem more that we do have it, but we don't have any courage to exercise it? Which is the bigger problem in your mind?
I think the second one, and I don't understand why. If people actually knew what's at stake by being apathetic, if we do nothing, we're aiding and abetting the devil. But if we commit to be servants of our Lord Jesus Christ and his ambassadors, then we'll take a stand for the truth. And if we have a lack of courage, then ask the Lord for more courage, for more boldness. But we do need to, I think more than ever, contend for the faith. I've never seen this push for ecumenical unity so fierce than it is today. And it just seems like it's gathering more and more people. And the ones that know the truth and need to stand against it aren't doing so.
Yeah, and that's a difficult part. I've heard from a lot of people, and I've experienced this myself, where you will have a particular person that you thought was really sound and really great, and then that person goes off the rails, and you're left saying, wait a minute, I thought that that person was really a sound evangelical Christian, and now he's saying all kinds of crazy things. But going back to Matthew 24, shouldn't we expect that to happen more and more in the last days?
Yes, we should, because it's a prophecy the Lord Jesus gave. The end times will be marked by increasing deception, by false prophets, false teachers, and false Christ. And 1.2 billion Roman Catholics worship a false Christ, the Eucharistic Christ. And so when you have a pope coming to D.C. via video message calling for unity, guess what the central focus of worship is in the Catholic Church? It's the Eucharistic Christ. And so we see evangelicals aiding and abetting the Pope to have Christians worship the Eucharist.
Well, and when he talks about proselytism, being a bad thing, and, that quote that I used earlier on when I was introducing the show, and when he's been all into Muslim dialogue and climate change, I mean, even on the Catholic side of the fence, there have been a lot of Catholics very disturbed, saying he's extremely liberal. I mean, even the fact that this is, something that is overlooked, that how extremely liberal he is politically and socially speaking in some regard on some things, really should be a concern as well, right? Because that, in that regard, when you're putting all of that aside, it's even more insidious that you're putting aside not just the politics of it all, also the theological discernment of, you know, even being true to Catholicism. It's just, it's a weird mess, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's, I don't know. It's, it, we're living really in crazy times, Mike.
Well, we are. And the Pope has really been a great benefit to our ministry because he's not even historic Roman Catholicism.
Right.
He's going against many of the doctrines that the Catholic Church has stood for hundreds of years. And so a lot of Catholics are upset because he is so liberal. But you see, what he's trying to do is to suppress all these dogmas and doctrines and to make the Roman Catholic Church inviting to all people, whether they be homosexuals, whether they be divorced people, whether they be living outside of marriage.
Yeah.
You know, he's just tearing all these walls down so that he can build his global religion. And I think most evangelicals are unaware that this is what he's trying to do.
Well, and as you have attested in your own testimony, Mike, the fact that Christians would say we are made right with God solely by the blood, the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He is, you know, he has paid it all. He has imputed to us his righteousness. There's not anything we can do works wise to earn our way to heaven. That is good news, whether you are an errant Protestant or a lapsed evangelical or a Roman Catholic or a Mormon, what have you. That is good news for the world, Mike. It's the best news the world has ever heard. This is the time for us to be boldly proclaiming that without any apology.
Amen. And we also have to realize, though, the reason people do not believe the greatest news they'll ever hear about, the greatest gift they could ever receive, is because the prince of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes from the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. And Janet, he uses religious pride as his most effective weapon from blinding people from the truth. And so as we proclaim the gospel, we also need to pray that the Lord would open people's eyes to see the glorious truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And for all of us to really act on our conviction where we are lapsed on biblical discernment, to be grounded in the Word of God as we're commanded to do, to you know, embrace the whole counsel of God, not just this here and this there, and definitely not to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Apart from that exclusive gospel, we have no hope, Mike. And this is a time for the church to double down on truth and discern truth from error, not to compromise with it. Well, Mike Gentry from Proclaiming the Gospel, always great to have you here. ProclaimingTheGospel.org, great website. And Mike, God bless you. Thank you so much for what you do and for being with us.
Well, thank you, Janet. Blessings to you as well.
Take care. Thanks for being with us, Mike. Thank you, too, for listening to Janet Mefford today. Always a pleasure to have you here. God bless you. And thanks a lot for listening.